After the reading, speak with us. If you have completed the fifth step out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and have experience with the step being discussed tonight, we encourage you to share your experience with us. If you have not, we ask that you pass. The chairperson has the responsibility to uphold the format decided on by the group. There is also a five-minute limit on comments. We also encourage questions during the meeting by all. And with that, I've asked my good friend Mike to speak on the step we just read about, and we'll just go from there. All yours, buddy.
Thanks, Mark. Hi, everyone. My name is Mike. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi.
Member of this group. It's good to be here tonight. I'll back up a little before I get to these steps. When I first came to AA in early sobriety, I kept hearing these promises. I kept seeing them on the wall, and I kept hearing them being recited in meetings. And the more I heard them, the more friggin' angry I got, I eventually got 12 steps of these kind of meetings, big book step study, and I was attracted to these type of meetings. I was not doing well in sobriety. I was going to 11 meetings a week. I was a member of a group. I had a sponsor. I had a job in the group, and I was sick and tired of the meetings I was going to and going on commitments, and I just remember thinking, if this is the rest of my life, fuck this. They used to have smoking meetings when I first came around, and it seemed like everybody in the room looked like I do now. Everybody had white hair, and I just said, wow, this is what my life has come to, So I came to step study. I got involved in the steps. I got a step study sponsor, and he took me through the steps up to this point. And in my fourth step, I had the promises were in my fourth step. And I remember what the resentment was, simply two words: that's bullshit, with friggin' like four or five exclamation points. And you could feel the impression on the backside of the page, because I was so full of anger when I was writing my resentments. And by this time, I had started to change, because I had done the whole fourth step, and the second half I had to look at my side of all my resentments. And we do a very thorough fourth step in these meetings. I mean, every person I ever knew was on my inventory, and whatever problems I had in my interpersonal relations with every single person I ever knew was analyzed. So nothing was left out. So when I got to step 8 and made my list, it was a thorough list. It wasn't some of the people that I had harmed. It was all the people that I had harmed, where it was appropriate to, go back and make amends to these people. So, the turnaround on the promises was that I knew at this point was I did not do what was required to get the promises. And I was always like that. I just expected to get shit for nothing. I worked, my brother, when I first got out of the military, I was still drinking. It was back in the mid-70s. The economy was in the tank. It was really difficult to find work. My brother-in-law was a general contractor. He hired me. I don't even know if he could really afford, times were tight. He probably would have been better off financially if he hadn't hired me, but he went out on a limb, he hired me. And because he owned the company, I thought that gave me privilege to show up for work whenever I felt like it. And when I did come to work, you know, do what I felt like doing, and if I felt like fucking off, then I'd fuck off, you know. And he eventually laid me off because he's trying to run a business, you know, and he needs the work to get done, so he gets paid so he can pay us and he can make his profit. And I didn't see it that way. I thought, you know, I'm his friggin' brother-in-law. This fucking guy, he's supposed to take care of family, you know. That's how I thought. I thought I was like, oh shit, you know, for doing nothing. So I don't know if I thought these promises should fall out of the sky, right, you know, into my life or what. But anyway, at this point, when I was at step 8, I knew what the gig was. I needed to do step 9 if I wanted these promises in my life, you know. And I had the foundation already done. It was a good foundation, thanks to my sponsor and people in meetings like this who inspired me and kept teaching me the right thing to do, you know. So I was told, you know, I had 30 people on my list that I owed direct amends to. And then I had 2 financial amends. I had committed insurance fraud, and I had ripped off a friend of mine. We had lived together for a year. The deal was because I didn't have a job. Again, my brother-in-law had laid me off, and then I just started collecting. And of course, I was going to collect right to the very end. I wasn't even looking for work. And the deal was he'd pay the first 6 months of the 1 year lease, and then when, supposedly I'd get a job by month 6, and then I'd pay the second half. Well, I never got a friggin' job. And I continued to allow him, and he went ahead and paid the whole year, and, thinking I was probably feeding him a line of shit, you know. Then, well, we'll sign another lease, I'll pay all next year, or some crap like that. Never happened. I never paid him. I can't believe I did this shit. You know, this was a guy I grew up with, you know, and again, I just thought, I don't know what I was thinking. Like, the world just owes me, you know, and so I completed the first half of the 8th step by making this list, and I got it off, you know, from my inventory. I had gone back through my inventory. I know it says in the book we already have the list. Well, I made it an additional list. That's what my sponsor suggested, and that worked good for me, and that's what I've suggested the guys I've helped through the steps. It worked good for me to just have a separate list that was just about these amends. So when I made an amend, I could cross it off, and I knew, you know, which ones I had left. And then there's the second half of step 8, which is praying for willingness to make these amends. And that part of step 8 stayed active all the way through my 9th step. Because there were many times I got a surprise. Somebody showed up who was on my 8th step list, who I wasn't expecting to see and I hadn't seen for years. And I had to start praying my ass off, you know, for help to do the right thing and do what I needed to do. By the way, that happened to me 6 times. There were 6 people out of the 30 on my list that I hadn't seen in 15 at least years, some of them maybe a little longer, and I had no idea where they were. Every frigging one of them showed up, every one of them. So whatever remaining ideas or doubts I may have had about the existence of a God were obliterated during this step. Not just because of experiences like that, you know, like if one or two of these people showed up, I could have brushed that off to coincidence. But half a dozen times, you just know there's some unseen consciousness that is aware of what I'm doing. and is playing an active role in helping me out and helping these people too. Because these people needed to hear what I had to say, and they deserved to hear what I had to say, you know. And I had some scary amends. I had some shit that I had to straighten out. I'm not going to discuss it. I'm being recorded here, and this is going online. So, but I'll say this much. I had two amends that I had legitimate fear for my physical well-being, and I had one that I had legitimate fear of losing my life. And I'm not, that's not an alcoholic exaggeration. That's the truth. My experience has been, you do this work, God will keep you unharmed. Obviously, I did not get killed, and I did not get harmed physically. And actually, I've been forgiven for some real friggin' heinous shit, in my opinion, you know. And I've known others. I've had friends who have done more devastation than I did, but they were willing to try to set right what they had done wrong. And they had, you know, I had a friend who went to prison, and he made an amend, and he had to face jail, and he went to jail, but he got out, and he actually started Big Book Step Study in Central Florida in the Gainesville area, or Ocala area. And he became a very successful businessman. He done very well for himself. He trusted and relied on God, you know, and applied these principles. So I had a lot of inspiration along the way. There were guys who had, you know, had some serious stuff that they were facing. It was when I was doing these amends, it was in the 90s. I was with the Somerville Men's Group, and there were guys in there that had some serious shit. And so I was very much, there was a little bit of peer pressure there too, you know. People were always asking, how you doing your amends? How you doing your amends? You know, and we'd all kind of gone through roughly around the same time. So I feel I owe some debt to them as well. So I started out on my amends. You know, it was suggested to me to try to make one a week, make an appointment, don't just show up on somebody's doorstep, you know. And you know, sometimes, like I said, those six people that showed up, they showed up I just ran into them on the street, you know, in different places, so I had no control over some of this, you know. But you know, I'll obviously I can't go through all 30 amends. It took me a year to get them all done, and by the end of that year, the promises did manifest in my life, and I've worked since then, working the ladder steps to keep them manifest in my life. You know, a big amend was my mother. So I'll just tell you one. My mother was probably the person that I owed an amend to more than anyone else, because she was the one who always loved me. She was an alcoholic, and she was a good mom, and I was her baby, and you know, she you know, she just put up with my shit for years and years, Anytime I ran out of money, she always kept the door open. I could always come home, which I kept taking advantage of. I came home. I was living with her when I was in my 30s. You know, I was a good Irish Catholic boy, you know. I can't believe. The love of a mother is, you know, beyond my comprehension. But anyway, I had treated her bad when I was drinking. I would go to her house drunk. I'd drink at her house. You know, at the end, I was all alone. I had abandoned everyone. I abandoned my family. I abandoned my friends. Alcohol had really become my master. And I'd get so lonely, I'd go over her house sometimes, and I'd get shit-faced. And I remember she was sick one night, and she needed help, and I wanted to go down to the local bar near her house, and I went off on her. You know, I screamed at her. She was like, I think she was 80, 81 or something, or close to it at the time. So, you know, that's what they talk about in here, the mother, the wives and mothers that we have so shockingly treated. You know, if a normal person saw behavior like that, they'd be shocked. And with good reason, because it is shocking. You know, screaming at a friggin' helpless old woman who just needs some help, you know, and I'm pissed off because she's, you know, fucking up my party, you know. And I owed her. And, you know, it says in this reading tonight, a remorseful mumbling won't cut the bill at all. And we're a long way, it says, from making good to those we've so shockingly treated. So it's talking about more than just saying, I'm sorry for what I did. I'm sorry for not never being there for you and not being the son that I should have been. It's talking about being there for you and being the son that I should be for as long as it friggin' takes. And I understood that. And so the easy part of the amend to my mother was admitting I hadn't been the son that I should have been, you know, and that I was never there for her when she needed me and all the worry that I caused her. And, I take responsibility for my alcoholism. I don't use it as a fucking excuse, you know. Oh, I took a drink and the phenomenon of craving came in, you know. Fuck that. You know, I was a fucking piece of shit. And I'm owning that. And I'm telling her I'm going to change, and then it's up to me to apply these principles and change. And I took care of her the last 7 years of my life, the last 7 years of her life, and that was the hard part of the amend. That was the difficult part, but I did it. Thanks to help from my sponsor, especially from God, and by practicing these principles every day. You know, there were times I would, you know, get impatient again, but I would correct it right away like I was taught to do. But for the most part, thanks to AA, all the support I had in Big Book Step Study through that time and God, you know, I was able to do it. And I was able to be there for her right to the end until she passed away, you know. And I actually got to know my mom and that. It was a beautiful thing. I think it's one of the greatest gifts I've ever got in my sobriety, and I had to sacrifice a lot. You know, there were times I wanted to be, you know, trying to go out on a date, you know, see some nice woman in AA, and you know, I wanted to show an interest in me, whatever. And you know, I couldn't do both. You know, and I couldn't sponsor. I was sponsoring six guys. I found out I had to let some of them go and help them find other guys because I couldn't handle that many. I needed to make her number one, you know. I could only sponsor one or two guys while I was taking care of her. So I had to sacrifice. So I had to grow up. I had to start growing up, you know. And paid off. A few years later, I met my wife, you know, and we've been together for 16 years, have a great life today. So anyway, you know, I'm free. I know what freedom is. You know, this. Don't let anybody tell you this work is easy. It's not easy. But if you want these promises not to be words on a book or words on a banner, but be a manifested reality of your life, if you want to lose your fear of people and be able to walk anywhere in this world and look any person in the eye, and if you want to have the ability to be a productive member of society and an asset to Alcoholics Anonymous and to your family and to your friends and not be a friggin' burden anymore to anyone in any area of your life, I'm telling you, it is possible. And whether you believe it or not, that is who you really want to be. And you'll never be happy unless you become that person. And unfortunately, most people aren't willing to do what it takes to get there. So I hope I've been of help to someone here tonight. And thanks again, Mark.
Thanks, Mike. I think that's it, buddy.
We're just going to pick up where we left off, right?
Ronnie, if you want to.